Like to ask you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 21, kind of for the context here. I think we feasted on this one before, but there is enough of a feast here for a month of Sundays. Chapter 3, 12 to 21 in Philippians. Mark's going to talk about this passage. Well, some of this passage, but some from Isaiah in 3 weeks. At Jackson EMC in kind of those, like a Bible conference that we've done in the past. And so 3 weeks from yesterday, we're going to kind of focus on heaven. Today, not so much on the New Jerusalem, but on sins that I know I struggle with and you may as well. Let me start in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. What one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. Their glory is in their shame, with their mind set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. So in verse 12, when you look at it, not that I have already obtained all this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. I love the King James here. That says, where he says, to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own, is to apprehend that for which he apprehended us. What a great word. He has apprehended us. I didn't know what that meant. So I looked it up. It says to arrest, catch, capture, seize. So we've been justified, adopted, regenerated, redeemed, saved, kind of whatever thrilling term we want to use. But that's not the end of Paul here. Once that happened on that glorious day that I pray has happened in your life, that's not the end of the story. That's where the work starts. And it's a glorious work, but you see in here that it's not an easy work. In three verses there from 12 to 14, two times he says he presses on. One time he says he's straining forward. So Paul, as he's been apprehended, now that he's been apprehended, is working hard at this. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Matthew Henry said, the best man in this world will readily own their own imperfection in the present state. And that's Paul. He knows that he's not there yet. He has not arrived. And he's quick to say that, but he's pressing on. And then don't you love how single-minded he is? He says, but one thing I do. He says, it's boiling down to one thing, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. And I think bad and good, right? Don't you think? He killed Christians for a living there for years, right? So he needed to forget about that. Otherwise, that past guilt's just going to paralyze him, I'm afraid. And though he also had done a whole bunch of good things, but he wasn't relying on that. He wasn't going to rely on those laurels. You know, otherwise, he'd be like, Barnabas, Barnabas, Barnabas. How many times have you been to the third heaven? You know? He wasn't doing that kind of thing either. Otherwise, that's going to be an arrogant. He's forgetting what lies behind, and he's pressing on toward what lies ahead. And we may need to do that as well. And so I think there's three things here that I'd like us to consider. The first one I'm not going to talk about much, but it's I think it's certainly in there, is there an urgency in how we are living this life? You saw an urgency with Paul. And he knew his life was short. For him to live was Christ and die is gain. And he knew that those light momentary troubles were achieving for him an eternal glory that far outweighed them all. And so he lived with a great urgency. We may be guilty. I'm guilty of not doing that. Secondly, are we taking credit for being apprehended? I have a relationship with Jesus, you might say, and we do. Is it tempting to sometimes kind of be the star of that relationship? Like, I'm really the one that's important in this whole thing. And he's the one that apprehended us. And he's the one that began that good work in us, and he will carry it on to completion. It's probably just self-righteousness, really. And so we need to consider, is that what we're dealing with? We wouldn't say it, but would others perceive that in us? Maybe. So I think that's the second thing that we can ask. Is there a self-righteousness that creeps in? And then this one's easy to see. I think Mark's especially talking about this from Micah today and why we wanted to focus in on this passage. Could it be that there's a sinful thought that now that I am apprehended, my sin isn't really a very big deal? I can kind of go as I want because he's got me. There isn't anything I'm going to do to lose this. That thought that salvation frees us to sin rather than it frees us from sin is bad news. That's not what we are free. Just like we just sang. He has wiped those sins away. We don't have to sin anymore. It's not that we don't get a sin. It's that we don't have to. He's freed us from that. So there isn't this deal that, oh, wow, now I'm saved, so I can sort of do whatever I want to. Licentiousness, that's not us. We've been freed from that. And so we don't have to go that route anymore. And the Lord Jesus has bought all of this for us at the cross. So let's go to him, and if any of those three things or other sins come to your mind, let's confess those and rejoice over the gospel. Let's pray. I'll give you a minute. Gracious Father, we thank you for your just deep forgiveness, your deep love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ would die for us, that there's no condemnation for those of us that are in Christ Jesus. I do thank you that you have forgiven us for how many times we have not been urgent about living a life worthy of the gospel. Our sins of omission, where maybe we have taken it easy, where we have not pressed on, where we have not strained ahead, but sort of put it in neutral. Lord, I'm thankful today that you have freed us from a self-righteousness that I imagine all of us deal with, Lord, and we pray that you would remind us often that it is by grace that we have been saved, through faith, that it is not our own doing. It was not our own work, but that you apprehended us, that you chose us even before the beginning of time, that you foreknew, called, justified, glorified us. We have so much to look forward to. We pray that we would not take credit for what is only your doing. And then, Father, we pray that you would free us from licentiousness, where we feel as if we can sin because of our security in you and how thorough justification is. Lord, never let us forget how thorough your forgiveness and your love and your justification is, but let that never lead us to sin against you, but help us to flee quickly to the cross and look to you and you alone for our satisfaction. And thank you, Father, that you have washed these sins away as far as the east is from the west. Use Mark in your word now for your glory. Give us faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word. In Jesus' name, amen.